Sounds good.
Loves forums.
Oh.
He was basing his opinion on forums.
I was going to say foursomes for a second. Yes, foursomes.
Oh, I lost my virginity like to three girls at once. Hello.
Man podcast, myself Shane Keane,
Declan Barrett
over here laughing. Hello, Niall Quinn.
Oh, I'd like to laugh.
And Ruth Holman over there.
QSAT is my broadband company.
Can you see the sky? No.
Hello, hi, I'm here.
All the lads are here. We're back another week of football and banter. Banter. Thank you. Let's wait for that.
Actually, just a soundboard for Richard Keyes and some banter. Robbie Keane.
We don't even need it though, because every single time you say it, it's the exact same.
I know, it's a skill. I did sit in my room for an hour and a half perfecting it.
You were for an hour and a half? 4 months.
That's where you were last year. No, you were in Germany.
We were in Munich.
Lies. Anyway, look, get in touch with 12manpodcast@hotmail.com, at 12manpodcast on the Twitter. And then get on the Facebook page as well. It's all happening over there, isn't it?
It usually is all happening over there. We're still on our search for English managers with facial hair.
We've got
Phil Brown.
Well, we have Alan Pardew, obviously.
Three.
Yeah, well, Pardew, I don't know, Pardew's is scruff. It's not bearded yet.
He's the inspiration behind this.
Yeah.
Phil Brown's another with his kind of weird goatee.
He's a Brent. A David Brent from The Office.
Phil Brown's got the South End job, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a strange one.
Paul Sturrock being sacked.
Yeah, it's weird. That's
relieved of his position.
A weird one, considering he'd be like, what am I been sacked for? This is terrible. Phil Brown! See Phil Brown coming in. Karaoke machine. Sweet Caroline.
We're staying up. We're staying up.
Morals going up.
No, Phil, we're pushing for promotion. We're staying up. Okay. Even if they finish mid-table, yes, we stayed up. Anyway, look, we're getting
classic
sidetracked.
Orange, man.
We've got them. And we put Sam Allardyce with his mustache up there as well.
But his gravy crustings. Yeah. On his upper lip.
And that's really it so far. So if you do know any more,
help us
at 12man podcast. Get on the Facebook page, just leave us a picture of one of these lovely, lovely men. Well, we got asked a question if it was Roy Keane could count.
Managers from, like, managers managing in England. It's English people who are managers.
Yeah. English managers.
That's as basic as I can describe it.
It's very complicated, I know. Anyway, look, we get on with things.
Okay.
This week's big discovery in the world of football and music. You know, two great cultures.
Fusing
the two of them together.
Much ball. Well, that sounds like you're kicking a dog around.
Yeah. Oh, God. Where's your talk? You know, two great things from pop culture colliding in music and sport. Robbie Keane has found out that Morrissey is his cousin, allegedly.
They probably knew a while ago. It's just
there. Yeah, well, we only discovered
now that he's moved to LA. He has a famous new cousin. A movie in the making right here.
I smell a spin-off.
So look, we want to know. Well, I want to know. Well, we all want to know. Which Irish player and musician would you team up together to create a dream team? Much like Robbie Keane and Morrissey.
Definitely the dream team of something. I don't know.
Chins.
Could Morrissey, I don't know,
probably hair,
have cameo appearance in an Ireland match? And
probably he'd probably get
maybe
away with
Robbie
it.
Keane could have
based on all performances get Morrissey in the front.
Right,
maybe Robbie Keane could have a cameo in.
I'm going to cut across you and I'll start there because you may as well pack up and go home, lads, because I know you're going to love this. Connor Salmon combined with Right Said Fred. Come on, but three bald lads going around? You know, I'm too sexy for my shirt? That's Right Said Fred.
Yeah, but Connor Salmon in there?
He's bald. And he looks like he should be part of Right Said Fred.
I was thinking more Connor Salmon and the Blue Man Group.
No, because they're more of a live act. They're not a really a musical. You don't buy a Blue Man Group album.
If I was to throw a football at one of the Blue Man Group's head, it would be about as effective as
throwing the ball at
Connor.
Well, it's not a question,
but
that's not the question. He said for a musical, for a dream team
for
or two.
From a musical point of view,
it would not be beneficial.
I think there's some serious acoustics coming off of hitting a football.
No, I think I think I would watch Connor Salmon
singing on kind of, sexy.
It would be like you couldn't tell which was which by the end because you kind of spin them around as they're dancing naked.
You put them
then you kind of have to pick which bald lad is Connor Salmon and which is the right set.
This
friends.
Sounds like a game show now.
Well, there's next few questions.
Salmon or Fred
or the other guy, right?
Or possibly the other.
Right said or right said.
Egyptian, right said.
Anyway, yeah, I would have Connor Salmon.
All right,
right said Fred.
Well, we will have that.
I don't think
I'm not a fan of music, apparently.
I don't think I'm gonna go home based on that, which you suggest.
Try and better it.
Go on, try and better.
Well, no, I'm not gonna better it because I had no idea. But really, I thought of possibly a Damien Duff, Hilary Duff collaboration would be interesting and probably pretty good.
Nicely done. I was just thinking that. He wouldn't actually. He's getting on now. He's done his own stuff. He probably wouldn't be arsed getting into the music business. But I don't know any of Hilary Duff's music, unfortunately. So you'd have some of her singing and then just a Viva ad kind of cut in. So like a remix to,
what's
the you know. Yeah,
it's
Hibernian
insurance.
What about you, Shay Kayla?
Well, that was, yeah. I actually think I have a good mix here.
Ooh.
Good, a genuine. Now, who was the lad around the Ireland cap, you know, kept morale up back in the day?
Back in the day, which day?
Ah,
so many
days. 8 years ago.
Matt Holland?
No.
He didn't look like he'd be much of a laugh.
No.
In bed with a warm milk at 9 o'clock.
I'm going to say Andy Reid, right? Because Andy Reid's actually able to play musical instruments. And, you know, get the guitar, get the barrel on him.
I'm sure
Andy Reid.
Bit of a bongo belly on him as well.
Andy Reid, and people might know who this is, but Christy Moore.
Oh.
Up on stage, she got a belt to the tunes.
I could actually see that.
Yeah, exactly.
Andy Reid looks like he hangs out with Christy Moore.
Yeah,
I think
he does, actually, yeah.
He does look a bit fat, alright. Yeah.
People who are outside of Ireland and may not know Christy Moore, you have to look Christy Moore up.
He's a good,
lovely Irish musician.
So Andy Reid kind of looks like a Bowron. So
just his face.
work.
Yeah, I can see that.
His face for the...
What instrument does Andy Reid play?
Guitar, for I know, but
yeah,
he
plays
a
guitar as well. Actually,
oh, I was also thinking.
Yes, actually, if you remember the Rocky Road to Poland song, shots from in the studio was the entire Irish squad and Shane Long with
Shane
the acoustic
Long.
Guitar. I was like, I'm not sure if this 30-man sing-along might overpower the sound of the acoustic guitar, considering
maybe
probably most of them are tone deaf.
I'll play louder.
La, 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 la. Oh, lads, it's
well,
awful.
You could all, I was thinking you could get a bit of a boy band going with some of the players. You could get Shane Long, Kevin Doyle maybe, Stephen Kelly.
Well, Kevin Doyle's not really...
It's the hair.
He's only in the
yeah,
squad
oh,
by default.
Yeah. So, I don't know, what else could you have in there?
Connor Sam would be the tough guy. No, Jonathan Walters. Jonathan Walters would be,
yeah, Walters,
the,
be
the tough guy.
I think the Keith Duffy.
Oh, God. I don't want to call anyone else the Keith Duffy apart from Keith Duffy. I think it's a bit
I don't know who your fifth member would be. I don't know who your fifth member would be then.
Well, one of them died from Boyzone, so it's alright.
No, you can't trap.
Was there not always an old lad in
the
boy band?
He'd be the Louis Walsh.
He'd be the manager anyway, yeah.
Anyway.
You could have Jason McIntyre. He'd be the oldest.
An old boy band.
He has that kind of, I'm an idiot look about him.
Yeah, but he is from his haircut, it would suggest he's part from his kind of haircut and straight face, it would suggest he's part of Editors or something like that. I could see him in there. Or The Enemy. He'd work well in The Enemy. He kind of just trot in. And,
yeah,
I hope they're not.
I don't think he'd make good music.
Yeah,
I don't even know if they exist anymore.
They got let go of the record label last year. Remember they played the Charity Shield?
Didn't they have a song about McIntyre?
No. Remember they played the Charity Shield, like
pre-match
stuff, and Hardfoy headlined, but
that was the FA Cup final.
But The Enemy also headlined. I was like, well, they didn't headline; they played before Hardfoy.
That was just
got let go from the record label
to support The Enemy. It's just like, but there you are. You also headline, co-headliner
the Charity Shield.
That was the FA Cup final, I think.
Oh, maybe it was.
Yeah, because I remember Hardfoy; it was terrible. We've discussed this before. Hardfoy just can't play live. Well, you can't see, man can't sing.
It's turned into a music podcast altogether now.
So look, lads. The new BDI album. No, honestly.
Does it have enough Jason McIntyre?
There's not a new BDI album, surely.
There will be at some stage.
Well, guitarist from Kasabian's after.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And look, who cares? Football, Ireland. Disappointing draw against Austria. Good draw against Sweden, though.
Yeah.
Disappointing draw against Austria.
Yeah.
I think for the situation we were in at the time, Sweden were there for the taking and we didn't play well enough.
We didn't have one shot at the target.
No, we didn't, but Sweden weren't very good.
No,
I think it's worth pointing out. Although, I still think they're a good team, unlike the RTE panel said. They scored, what was it?
4 goals against Germany, 4 against England.
Yeah, and then they went, but they're terrible. I was like, but you can't, they're not terrible. They're clearly not.
It's 2 draws, it's just not enough there, really.
No, he's not. Trapp had said he wanted 4 points.
Yeah, I think 4 points was the, you know, you'd ask for that. And maybe you'd get the 3. You might beat Sweden, you might lose. But in drawing with Sweden, you stop them getting 3 points.
Yeah.
But then, to go draw against Austria, and okay, it was in very, you know, last minute goal, and it was deflected in, and all that kind of stuff, you had it factored in, but it was a terrible result in the end. Because I think, and I said when this group was drawn, when we were talking about this group, that, sorry, we should be beating Austria. We should probably get 6 points against Austria. You know, I think 4, okay, might be the minimum we're looking for. We might go to Austria, we might beat them, that big a result. But we should be winning at home. And I think 6 points is realistic. And we didn't get to 6. We won't be getting 6 points. You know, we might well go there and lose, or we might go there and draw. I think Austria are
when we were 2-1 up, halfway through the second half, I thought, I don't see us beating Austria away. I think we'd be lucky to get a draw against Austria away.
But it happens a lot.
The way they were playing.
Yeah, I think Austria started the game fantastically. I mean, if you saw, they did the way to, like, not that there's only one way to beat Ireland, but they did the
there
right
thing. There are many ways to beat Ireland, as we saw in the Euros.
Yeah, but the way they beat us was, I mean, they pressed from the very start. Like, they were putting fierce pressure. And within the first minute, McCarthy and Glenn Whelan gave the ball away very sloppily, and Kieran Clark's mistake was good. It was bad on his part. He should have gotten rid of the ball, but it was good pressure from Austrian players. I think they were fantastic from the start, like that.
Mm. Just good, comfortable on the ball, kind of as you'd expect, maybe from one of those Central European teams that they tend to be quite good in the ball. They produce decent technical players, and then they just might have pace sometimes. You know. They lack sometimes in other departments, tactically as well. But
and they have Pogatess, who had a nightmare of a game, really, didn't he?
Yeah. He reached in
long, gave him a terrible time of it.
He wasn't good, but I mean,
yeah, but I mean, he did those things where that
cost you games.
Yeah, that Pogatess ultimately
does
struggled with. I mean, you know, Long came from the wing a lot. I actually thought Long and McLean were to have a better performance. Just
I thought Malone was brilliant, didn't he?
For the kind of that proper impact, the a bit of finesse and skill from that aspect, because we lack that so often. To actually have that was fantastic, and showed not only that we're brutish with Connor Salmon up front, but that nickname can't last. Empty from recycling bin.
What was the Shane Long one?
Sorry?
What was the Shane Long nickname?
Shalo. How do you like them?
J-Lo.
Yeah.
But with less R's.
Yeah. Well, Jay Walt was in good form.
Jay Walt got 2. Well, he scored 2 goals.
Yeah.
Penalty.
I thought he was alright as well.
It was
a very good header. Very good header.
Lovely header, yeah.
It was good. It was nice to get the goal right before half time. But in a way, if we hadn't have got that goal, we probably would have been better off, because we started that second half. We actually started the second half okay for the first 5 minutes, but we got a corner early on, and Kieran Clark and John O'Shea. I think Clark went in front. O'Shea stayed back. In the first half, the two of them were going up. Straight away, you could see we were kind of we're not going to concede here. And it's understandable. Okay, you don't want to concede another one, especially after conceding such a sloppy goal, I'd say. You know,
yeah.
Was it Wilson or Clark made the mistake for the goal?
Clark,
yeah.
Not to point the finger, but it was definitely Clark.
He had a very good game, apart from that.
There were times we tried to play the ball, but then we just, in the second half, not looking like we were going to go for it then. And there were silly things, like, there seemed to be this lack of communication between the defenders and the midfielders, which you don't see too often. We were the defence were trying to play the ball out too many times, kind of a lot shorter than they should. Then they put themselves under pressure, and then they had to hit it long towards Samuel Long. at after the 70th minute, we took Shane Long off. Salmon clearly didn't look like he had the energy.
He was exhausted.
And then we tried this, like, of trying to play the ball out short when Austria were pushing up the top. Like, they had, what, 8 men and a half at one stage. Like, you know, literally 2 defenders and the goalkeeper sitting back.
One thing that's really been put to, and RTE rightly so, putting these questions to Trapattoni, and most of the media, in which he's actually reacted quite negatively and shocked as if he has done anything wrong, but the substitutions were a huge cause for question. St. Ledger for Clark.
Well, Clark seemed to be injured,
which was a strange thing because St. Ledger had been preparing for some time, apparently, and was ready to come on before Clark went down.
Yeah, well,
but it could have been a niggle. So
maybe he was just.
Yeah, but I just mean it's cause for question. He was prepared to come on a good bit before.
Yeah. Well, I think Kieran, go on.
And Green on for Long, and Green seemed to play right midfield.
Yeah, that was a strange.
Which is just absurd. I mean, ultimately, I made the point on Twitter. What was so shocking for me about it is we had three, what we're basically playing as defensive midfielders, the way Ireland play with the midfield. Three defensive midfielders. And Alaba popped up in the 92nd minute outside the box with a free shot.
In the exact position where you would want one.
But they dropped back so deep. That's the problem.
But McCarthy and, well, maybe not Whelan, but McCarthy was in front of him. He wasn't near enough to him, and Whelan wasn't picking him up. And I have no idea where Green was.
Well, you can't
obviously
blame Green.
Out on the right side.
Yeah, you can't blame him for that. Because
No, I'm not blaming him, but I just think this. We brought him on. Why bring him on right midfield at all? That doesn't help relieve pressure at all. That puts any
no,
on.
See, that's
because you no longer have someone that can, you know, avert the, you know,
yeah, keep
he,
the ball,
look, he,
yeah.
he did all right when he came on, but he's not a very much not a right midfielder. I think even a player like him will have to admit that he's not a right midfielder. Yeah. You know,
it was one of those weird things where, for the first time, I think in his career, I saw that Paul Green was coming on, and I was like. Okay, I'm not actually that disappointed with that.
Not as worried.
And then I noticed that, he's coming on for Shane Long. That's retired.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know why. You know, I think we all were. Look, Conor Salmon did all right. I don't have any.
But he wasn't up for that 90 minutes.
No. He's not the kind of player I would have wanted. I said it from the start. I didn't want him to start, to be honest. But, you know, he did his job. He tried hard.
Well, there was a nice pick on one stage.
Yeah.
Which went to Long, who flicked it back out to, I think, was it McLean who put it back? Well, actually, McLean, I think, meant to shoot, but it came in.
Yeah.
And went along. This is the back
here.
And we hit the post.
But
one of the two goals. I think he had a shot one stage or a header at one stage, which was kind of close enough. But.
Yeah, but as I said, despite how good he was or how bad he was, whatever you want to say about him, he should have been taken off. He wasn't up for it, and instead Trapattoni defended that by saying Long was clearly very tired.
Long came out after the game and said, you know, he wasn't tired, he could have kept running.
Yeah, I mean, players are always going to say that. Michael Owen's career is destroyed because he
kept
saying
he was grand. But Long genuinely didn't look tired. I
can understand why they would say he's tired, but when there's one player that's clearly more tired.
I know, yeah, that's just the point.
You know, I understand if Long's tired, but
I don't think Long was
Long has played 90 minutes most of the time this season. Salmon's been on the bench for a long time for Wigan and now playing with Derby, probably getting a bit more than I see him, but
definitely not at the highest level. You can't keep it up, and I think, like,
that's an unfortunate term.
Basing,
no, we're not accusing him of using any erection dysfunctional medication or anything like that. That's what we're pointing out.
We mentioned Ciarán Clarke a few minutes ago coming off. What do we make Ciarán Clarke in Ireland setup? I personally think he's a liability to Ireland. He should have given away a penalty. There was a pulling somebody down the box from a corner. He causes for the goal, and he's looked pathetic at Aston Villa this season. I think he's very immature, very rash, makes some very bad tackles. Maybe it's just a maturity thing, but
I think he's only going to learn through that. I mean, I would say most of our team could fall into the liability category.
I genuinely think this is a guy who, you know, a bit like when Kevin Caban was such a great player, but you sometimes think he's going to give away a penalty. He's going to give away an own goal. He's going to do something silly. Ciarán Clarke just seems a discount player where it's more intentional. He pulls out of people. He throws them to the ground. He gets in the way of people. He trips them up.
He's a bit physical when it's not needed. The way that Martin Skrtel was towards the end of last season with Liverpool.
But international football, that's going to cost you. That's going to cost you time and time again. There should have been a penalty for us.
I agree, but I'm going to use the age-old argument of who do we have instead of him.
Shane Edwards has been starting for a while.
We're giving out about... you know, he might not get the 90 minutes then if he's playing at a lower level of football than Clark is.
But he has played a lot for Ireland and he hasn't really cost us.
No, I found it strange that he actually wasn't in the setup. I kind of realised.
You know, I just think people who kind of say, get Clark in there, it's like, well, no, we just thought he's good.
I still think he's... I don't think he was that bad. I think, obviously...
I mean, he gave away the goal.
Yeah, I don't think apart from that he was that bad. I think he's still at a learning curve. I think it's benefiting him. If anything, I thought he looked confident enough in beside O'Shea. I think it's benefiting him to be in there. I can
maybe
see
it's the stability that's not benefiting him, like, being
possibly
in that position, but... He has been very, you know, he's a good ball player, but he's just trying to get the ball out and he lost it. He's done some of that, especially Aston Villa, where he's gone. And I know Trap Tony said stuff about playing young players before they're not reliable. And I think he didn't directly quote or he didn't directly reference Clark, but he was clearly talking about Clark being very dangerous.
I actually have a bit of a question over Wilson. I don't think he's been convincing in the two games.
He
looked a bit... He still looks a bit nervous on the ball, which for me is a bit of a worry, considering it's not like he's a bit unsettled. He's been at Stoke for a long time. I know he's only coming into the Ireland setup, really, but he just doesn't look steady to me. Hopefully he'll improve. I wouldn't take him out. I think we're still a team in transition, although, again, questions being asked. Niall Quinn came out today and said Trapattoni would do a lot better if he just resigned.
It's not like Niall Quinn says something
like
that.
No, it isn't actually. But now that he's not associated to any club, I suppose he can actually have an opinion again.
Can you see the sky?
Well, as long as he doesn't go bashing other or his own Wi-Fi and promoting other Wi-Fis. Then.
It's a satellite.
Whatever. One thing I just wanted to stick to again. I know I've already criticised the RTE report as a little here and on Twitter, but I mean, we both said it rude. Like, Liam Brady should possibly not be part of that anymore because it's difficult to watch.
They took him out of the Champions League games because he couldn't
keep up with the pace.
Yeah, like,
wasn't getting 90 minutes for a stub side.
Couldn't play 90 minutes properly. But no, he couldn't objectively comment on any game. Like, if Arsenal were involved, he couldn't be impartial.
Yeah, I think he's even worse
and
at being impartial.
So,
I think he's even worse at being impartial.
He's so much worse
I think
for Ireland.
One of the worst things to see is, I mean, he, in the last two games, if you just watch that commentary, against Sweden, he got angry at Ronnie Whelan for not saying what a great job Trapattoni did at the end of the game. No co-commentator has ever gone, like, at the end of a United match in which they've won well, you wouldn't see, like, Andy Graham Martin talking back in the day go, Alex Ferguson has done brilliantly.
Well, it would
be
different from...
Oh yeah, but even at the best of times,
like that in Champions League in particular, when they talk about English teams.
Yeah, but even at the best of times, it's not a must do on the commentary. And against Sweden, I don't think it was deserved. I think we got a draw. I don't think we were fantastic against
Austria.
Oh, my mind slipped there. He was a little bit worse because he had a go at the reporter who interviewed Trapattoni for asking the question. You know, there's been speculation about your future and stuff like that. I mean, this is a question that people are actually asking. It's like, he should live in a dictatorship, really, Liam Brady, because he doesn't want this stuff. You know, I like Liam Brady. I think he's a good pundit. But anything that's close to home with him, he just gets so upset over and so over the top.
In that panel, you've got John Giles, who's very good. You know, he gives it very fair, he analyses it properly, and he talks sense. But then, the other end, you do have Eamon Dunphy, who will criticise the team no matter what. It doesn't matter what's going on. He'll criticise the team. So, not that you need to balance the team up by having somebody like Brady in there. I think somebody like Sadler is quite good as a pundit as well. You know, give somebody else a shot as well. But you have Dunphy in there, who's always going to be negative no matter what. So, to take Brady out, and to have somebody else there, you're kind of like, oh, it's just the same crap again, but it's just without Liam Brady there. And he was great to have him there as that insightful person.
Oh, God, yeah.
But I do understand that he's had that connection with...
Actually,
he's never going to criticise.
Actually, there's been a lot of criticism of the panel as a whole. Like, people say, oh, it's good for the crack, but it's not good football analysis. It really isn't. I mean, a lot of them don't... We always bring it back to the John Giles North Korea in the World Cup, where he asked... Dunphy or Brady about Brazil and turned to John Giles to ask him about North Korea, and John Giles went, I don't know anyone, don't ask me that. This is like, get someone to do research for you. You know, it's astounding to me that you know, they talk about Ronaldo and criticise him, and talk about how poor he can be in this and that situation. It's like, you haven't watched La Liga enough. You haven't, and at least from my point of view, I don't see some of the games we talk about. I'm not paid money, number one,
yet.
Very word,
yeah.
Yet, right, when are you going to start paying us? And number two, just because you're a hypocrite doesn't mean you're wrong, all right?
Oh, harsh words. I just think just, you know, sack the panel. You know, they're all getting on a bit. I just know three lads who do a brilliant job.
In fairness, though, we probably won't be allowed to have a sneaky beer before we start.
anyway, Ash are looking at Eamon Duffy.
Yeah, we probably. Another thing is we probably want Hamilton in there. So, no offence to Bill, but we want, or not Hamilton.
Sadler?
No, as the three of us and
Bill O'Hurley?
No, not Bill. No, it would be George Hamilton.
George Hamilton.
Who am I thinking of? Dar Maloney. God, I'm bad with names. I think we all do that. Listener do.
Well, he talked to the players and the pundits and the manager to it, and he said, what are the fans though? I wasn't at the game. None of us had the game.
Too expensive, as we nearly told John the lady in the elevator before.
Far too snowy.
You're not a true football fan.
I genuinely think that stopped quite a lot of people. The German game,
yeah.
Wasn't snowing. Sunny.
It wasn't snowing. It was a nice day.
And he got a lift in.
anyway,
dropped off right at the gate. It was grand.
The fans, though, from what I gathered from being around people who were at the game, talking to them, you know, reading about it online, and just getting a general sense of it from the media, it almost seemed like a relief when Austria scored that second goal, because people are like, Grant, let's get back to bashing Trapattoni. There's not enough getting behind the team, and I thought it was a really nervous display from the early players, and it's just something you don't see that often. I know we have been nervous before, but we've also had games where we've been really confident at home. We've looked very good. Like, not, there's a difference in confidence in the ball, but just in confidence in general. Like, it looked like we got a hold of this
team. We feel like we come into the 88th minute and we feel like, alright, we're 2-1 up, we'll see this out.
And that's something we've done with Trump. I just felt like the fans seemed to be, you know, there was no real atmosphere at that stage of the game.
Oh, I disagree. There was a good 10 minutes of them singing at one stage in the game.
At that stage of the game, at the end of the game.
Yeah, okay.
The fans almost felt like, grand, that's it, Austria scored. Let's get back to bashing Trump. Let's get him sacked now. So he's not going to be sacked in this campaign. Like it or not, he's not going to be sacked during this campaign.
Yeah, I think a lot of people...
Stop getting on top of him, because that... It does make the players feel good.
Yeah,
and we see this in the Premiership, that when a manager is under pressure, we've seen it, as an Arsenal fan, I've seen it in isolation at Arsenal, not so much, but when the fans get on top of the manager, start giving abuse, and there's only usually sections, but they start building, and he says that affects the team negatively. It does. You look at teams who are down the relegation zone, you know, they don't want their manager anymore, and it's quite evident that manager is going to be sacked. You know the team's not playing for the manager anymore. But when the fans get on top, it doesn't help either.
I think
the fans were almost... It was like the last days of Staunton when we played. It was Andorra. And they were beating us. They were beating us.
I think it was Cyprus when we drew 1-1 and
Steve Finnan scored.
Steve Finnan's goal.
That one. It almost felt like that. It felt like, oh, bollocks, Steve Finnan scored. Sorry about that. It almost felt like it was a cracking goal, but it almost felt like crap. If we had conceded there, he would have been sacked. Why is such a negativity around it? Like,
it's worth... You know, giving a bit of an objective view here and saying, I mean, the fans have a relatively just cause to be, well, some of them do, to not enjoy Ireland's football anymore. And the fact that he's argued with what must be 10 to 12 of the players, I mean, there was a list a while ago in which he has fallen out with that much. There was rumours recently that he didn't know, was it Ian Hart? I'm not having calls for Ian Hart to get back in the team. Didn't like him when he was in the team 10 years ago. But it was, you know, things allegedly, like, he didn't know Ian Hart was Irish. You know, I think there's just cause for people to not want him there anymore. I understand, I don't think it ever works like that. I mean, we've seen it at Chelsea, where it's just ridiculous. You're not helping the team. Benitez is there till the end of the year.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's a similar situation to, look, he's not going to be gone after this Austria game, because we're not out of it. And it's... I think it's silly seeing his reaction, where he's like, you know, the only people who want me out are the media, which is what he said, what he tried to say, because Manuel Spinelli didn't get to talk, he did. But I don't think it is just members of the media that want him out. I think
fans too.
There's a big shout from fans to want him out.
But they know, like, the fans know that one way or another he's going to be gone after this qualifying campaign. I don't understand this. And I honestly think I'd be very shocked, first of all, if he did get sacked in this campaign. I'd also be very worried if he got sacked. Just the or if he walked, even, you know, if he were forced out. I'd be very worried in the state of where he leaves state of Irish football then, because, you know, I'm not saying I don't mean the state like of the team or anything like that, but I mean, to leave now, you're going to have to write off this whole campaign then. Who do you bring in? Like, yeah. Who's this super manager that's going to be getting us qualified for every tournament? There is nobody out there. Okay, if we're willing to lump out the money we have for Trapattoni, maybe we'll get a big name manager. But that doesn't guarantee results. You know what I mean? We might be getting the results now, but we have qualified for competition. We have got to, like, the playoffs of another competition, which we arguably should have won, or we may have won.
Away record is ridiculously good for a team that is ranked so
average,
fairly low, you know.
And he has
13 games.
But I think the recent record, I mean, they showed on Sky Sports today, like, in the last, I think it's 8 games, we've scored 7 and conceded 22.
Yeah, but you're taking into account those European games.
I am taking into account the Euros, but I mean, since we qualified, still not a good record recently. I mean, if you get a run of form like that, look, I'm not calling for Trapattoni to be sacked. Anyone that's using their stupid little Twitter hashtags of Trap Out would want to cop on and look at the actual issue. If we sack him today or tomorrow,
off the campaign, have to get a new manager in, you have to get a super star manager in who's going to bring all these young players through and tournament world beaters. Okay, look, James Coleman looked good during the night. James McTain looked okay in the Austria game.
In both of the games,
I think James McTain's been absolutely atrocious for some
of the games. He has,
He's played well for,
there's one huge thing, which is, as I said, with Trapattoni falling out with so many players. I mean, for me, as harsh as I've been on Darren Gibson before, he's a player who's playing very well. He had a great game against Man City in the week, and I saw him make like 4 excellent tackles, and thought to myself, how we could use that, how good would that be to have. And I'm never a fan of Darren Gibson, but you think of players like that would want to be part of the team again, and it would help. But as you said, look,
he's
not going to benefit anyone.
The highest ranking player, I mean, him and Seamus Coleman. Like, I can't think of anyone who's playing at a higher level.
No, but I don't think that's important. I don't think that, you know, they're still playing. There's a couple of players in that league. I think overall the quality of the team is not great, and he's doing okay with what he has. But it's frustrating, things like pretty much this exact situation of the Austria game. We've seen it too many times.
We have seen it, and that is the one problem. But I think that's more of a, I think a lot of that's been borne out from the Care days and the Stoughton days, where we've gone to play teams that we should be beating, and we would have beaten with better teams, and we've gone there and we've been nervous, or we've played them at home, we've been nervous, and we've just messed it up because there's a nervous atmosphere there. A bit like the, you know, systemic, it gets into the team and it's going to be there because the likes of Robbie Keane, Dunn, Given, Duff, Doyle, these players would have been all like there for a while now, and then the newer players come through, but they're still feeling the same. A bit like an Arsenal, that kind of lose mentality that's there. A bit like England, that lose mentality that's there. It's that nervousness that's in the Ireland squad. Under McCarthy, we used to play teams. Like, I remember when we played Portugal. It wasn't like, oh, we're playing Portugal, we'll be lucky to get a draw there. It was like, we're playing Portugal, might get a win. No, I think we'd beat them. We'd beat Holland. Like, and it used to be, we could beat these teams. Now it's, be lucky to get a point. Hope we lose. That's a terrible attitude.
Whoever's saying, I've never heard anyone say hope we lose, but that's
I hear people say, I hope we lose, and Trapp gets sacked. And it's like, why? He's not going to get sacked if we lose. You have to understand that. It's like, okay, great, yeah, if we keep winning, we might, you know, he might stay on forever, you know what I mean? And I understand that argument, but for now, he's going to be here till 2016 or till the end of this qualifying campaign.
What do you think? Can we make it through? Yes or no?
No, I don't think we will.
No,
I think we've got a chance. No. Trapattoni, do you?
I don't think so.
No, Trapattoni seems confident. And even if we get to a playoff, like, the likelihood
He thankfully pointed out that we're not England and not Germany. Two teams are guaranteed their places.
Well,
true.
England, questionable.
We'll move on.
I mean, just in comparison, like, we do talk about this. I mean, our performance, you know, against whoever, like, you know, Sweden, we got the draw, they were there for the taking, or we weren't great against Austria. You know, international football is terribly cutthroat. It's very awkward and negative at times. And look at England, they play Montenegro. I think England should be.
Are we moving on to that?
Well, yeah, I think we have
to. Good.
England have
ready to criticise.
I think England should be beating Montenegro, like, comfortably at home anyway. And wait for a moment, like, they're ranked, what, like 20 something places ahead of them in the world.
Exactly,
they're the fourth best team in the world.
But the game isn't played on paper, Shane Keane.
But they have to beat these teams, and that's the thing. I never understand it. It's like, the English just seem to they just mess it up all the time against these big teams.
Yeah. It's worth pointing out that
big teams and
supposedly Montenegro.
Yeah, Ukraine, Poland, like they should be beating these teams comfortably at times.
It's worth pointing out that the main problem was don't be disrespectful now at ITV over here. But I think it's worth pointing out that the weakest part of England's team for the last few games is their defence, like with the injuries, and probably the strongest part of Montenegro's was their two strikers. So I don't think they're terrible. They have talent up front, but as you said, I think they should be. For England, they should feel this is a game we should win, especially when it's an important game. To go out and win that game would have put them in a very good position, you would think.
I think the media have a lot to answer for with England. They put a lot of pressure on the team, and they're so utterly negative towards the team all the time, I think. And it just does not help.
I don't think anyone would disagree with you.
I know, yeah.
But I think nearly everyone,
it's always so negative surrounding the England team, and that again, I said, you know, that gets it annoys players more than anything. I'd say, just like you're playing Montenegro, you know, it'd be great to get the win. I'd just love if, you know, Steven Gerrard came out and said, look, honestly, I think we should be beating Montenegro, you know, 2-3-0 here, 2-3-1 here tonight. You know,
the headline on Football 365 is Gerrard saying we should have taken control.
But they should be, and that's the point. But I'd like him to come out before the match.
Oh, he loves that.
I'd like him to come out before the match and say it.
Yeah.
We should be winners. I'd like Hodgson to come out and go, yeah, I think we should be winning this
match. I actually think Gerrard came out before the game and said, we might not win this.
But that's the thing.
Negative.
And then suddenly, and
if you think of it, sorry.
They're not just a bit built up with the teams.
If you think about that, in the first half, they were considerably better and probably should have gone in more than one up. I mean, did you see Rooney's effort? Spectacular chip, and it kind of fell down.
It
was early in the game. Spectacular chip now, and it hit the post. It's very unlucky. It would have been you would have definitely have seen it had it gone in. Absolute stormer.
I think England need to start scoring more goals as well.
Yeah, I mean there was eight
against San Marino.
Yeah, but seven different scorers, was it? I mean,
yeah.
Bar Rooney, and even at that, who is their out-and-out goal scorer?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, they had the chances they had were mainly from Rooney. Welbeck had a penalty denied, which is a bit. He probably should have gotten it, but it looked like a dive from the way he went down, and there may have been a connection. But it was the way they came out the second half, and Montenegro were by far the better team, and that shouldn't be happening. I mean, we argue as Ireland that that's happening to us because we have a generally negative setup and, you know, not some great players. Whereas England should be coming out and going, right, we need a second goal and that'll end the game.
But they have such a big pool of players to choose from. Like, and that's, again, when you compare that to Ireland, like, England have. You could argue that there's 60 players like that are as good, if not better, than players that we have in like their ranks. You know, they've got three different, not just teams, but squads they can put out like that would be, if not better, equal to us. You know what I mean? You could go down as far as, you know, you could be thinking Roger Johnson at centre back. You know, he's equally as good as any of our centre backs.
I wouldn't say equally as good, but he could on a good day could probably play as well. But I would say John O'Shea is probably better than
I don't know. See, John O'Shea's been on a slippery slope. I mean, internationally he's still okay. But like Richard Dunn, they just seem to get the best of him when they play at international level. But I mean, there are players there like Scott Parker, you know, in and out of the England squad for years. You know, Garrett Barry's in now, James Milner. These players are still probably
thank
better.
God, Garrett Barry's not Irish.
Oh, but again, if Garrett Barry was an Irish player, he'd be fantastic to have on that team.
I know, I mean, but I'm not a fan.
It's like Kevin Nolan. He could play for Ireland, but he's chosen not to. But he'd still be a fantastic player to have, I think.
We should point out that we've always said that we don't want players playing for the Ireland team who are kind of, I might play later.
No, you want you want the players to play from your age.
If you want to play for Ireland, like, fair enough, but I think we, just because we will get criticisms on that, and we've always hated that. Jamie O'Hara.
What about
Where is he now, Where is he now?
Injured, not Wolves. That's right. Along with Stephen Hunt and Kevin Doyle getting relegated.
Actually, just to bring it back and criticise Paul McGrath heavily, I read a terrible article in which he was like, it's an outrage that Kevin Doyle's not in the squad and in the team. I was like, no, it's not.
Kevin Doyle doesn't play or score anymore.
Yeah, like, look, a year ago we were saying Kevin Doyle has like 3 goals this year. There's no way he should be in the team. Jonathan Walters should be ahead of him. And he is now, but he's playing right midfield.
Yeah. Strangely enough, in a position where we kind of have... Where's McGeady?
I don't know. He must be injured.
But he'd definitely be in it, because Trafford only loves McGeady.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, McGeady doesn't do anything for
the most part. Back to England.
Yeah, anyway.
We slipped out there. Did you see Hart's almost shocker?
Oh,
you'd like this one. You guys like to criticise Joe Hart. You're a fan of some of the mistakes he made. This is a kind of, not tame, it was a decent hit from Vukic. Said it wrong. But Hart went to parry it and pushed it under his legs. And it bounced out the other side of his legs and nearly went in. He had to kind of scrap back and get it.
I saw the
fantastic.
The Gerrard free kick in the last minute.
Yeah,
which the keeper then, what their keeper just kind of
made a huge ordeal of.
He kind of pounded away with his left hand across his body. He's like, what are you doing? Like, did you catch it?
In fairness to England, the equaliser was awfully scrappy.
Yeah, I mean, it was horrible. Cleared off the line twice in the one move, I think, yeah. And then eventually just put it.
Although they probably deserved a Montenegro, but it was still, it was awful.
But that's
awful
the thing,
goal.
England go, they concede, they don't know what to do, they start panicking, they start talking, you know, crap about getting Rio Ferdinand back in the team or John Terry.
That's a
bullshit.
We haven't had a talk on that.
Absolute
that's a mad situation.
Bullshit. You know, Rio Ferdinand.
There's three curses out of him.
I'm sorry,
this.
But I really have got a big dislike for Rio Ferdinand these days. He's getting way too arrogant. He's talking about, oh, it's a disgrace that the manager didn't contact me about dropping me before. And now it's like, I want to be back in the squad. Now he's pulled out and okay, he had his reasons. But then
did he?
No, but that's what I mean. He said, and I was like, okay. Then he went over to Qatar to be a pundit for the match. Mm. He traveled all the way to Qatar. But this was a designated. Taking off the watch. Was that your Rio Ferdinand watch?
No, it was my extra checking to see extra time and stuff like that. But didn't think we needed it today.
We might. We'll
end it on penos.
Ferdinand, you know, we go to Qatar to do it because it's designated rest time. No, shut up. but seriously, he gets my nerves talking about all this. He's a 35-year-old player with back problems. Like 24 with back problems. Like, okay, he's still one of the best centre backs. We've talked about this before. In the last 7 years, 10 years. But I mean, he can't automatically get an England place. And I really think he didn't need to be focused. We've talked about this, not off air, but we definitely talked about this, that who England's best backline would be. But you got to stop, like, Ferdinand's got to stop trying to push into that squad. And Hodgson's got to stop listening to him. Just like, no, I'm not picking you, you're too old. Mm. Okay, you need that experience, yeah, maybe. But let's not forget Jagielka's 29.
Yeah.
You know, Cahill's playing at a top team as well. You've got Lescott playing at, he's won a championship medal.
He's not playing that much at the moment, but I'd still have him in there.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just think Fernandes.
The centre back pairing was, for the San Marino game anyway, was Smalling and Lescott. And you're thinking, okay, they're not that experienced there, but they play for Manchester United and Manchester City.
Yeah, I mean, Smalling and Jones are going to win as medals at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And they could well wind up being the centre backs for England.
Yeah, exactly.
I just think Fernandes. He's too old, he's got back problems, like, not just back, he's got injury problems generally.
And an attitude problem,
and
if
an
anything.
An attitude problem, he doesn't focus on the football much anymore.
I want to take this time to really have a go at him for the reason originally which he pulled out before he went off doing his commentary, which was it would interfere with his training schedule regime thing.
But that's because of his injuries.
But, he shouldn't be, talking about having a call back at all, if that's part of it. Like, this interferes with it. But I'll get on it. Like, it clearly doesn't, because you'll get on a plane and fly out to Qatar.
Well, that's what I mean. He went and did something silly like that.
That's just absurd. Like, it really.
Get Anton Ferdinand in there.
Don't do that, but don't get either Ferdinand. Les is the only one.
But he did do a nice dink once.
The ball playing, which I gave out about as well, because he was all right. He chipped it and fell. Stupid.
Oh, that's the quality you want.
Right. That's England. They beat San Marino 8-0. But
enough getting annoyed at them.
Well, I suppose we will mention IDB being very arrogant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They were quite arrogant, and I don't think they're going to get in trouble. I mean,
no, I can't.
San Marino were blown a bit out of proportion. They I didn't know countries had Twitter, but they do apparently.
Well, the FA
has Twitter. Well, the FA has the worst
people in San Marino. So.
The thing, don't be arrogant, Rue. You're falling with the ITV over here. This is the second, both of you, you're falling victim to Andy Townsend and the gang.
Not Andy Townsend. He's such a charismatic character.
It's the opposite of cool, and the gang is Andy Townsend's not cool. the FA also have one of the worst Twitter names I've ever seen. At FA, so it's just like AFA. It looks terrible. They
not
need,
at FA.
At English FA.
EFA.
I'd like to think that most of the other ones were taken. That's all they had to do.
That's the YouTube
for God's
football.
Sake. At English Football 16 line.
66.
No one laugh, lads. No one laugh. 66. Yes. That would have been good.
Brazil's one that just has a list of numbers. we're taking up all our characters or a fucking name.
1998, 1984, 1987.
This can't be the real Brazil. It's approved. What the hell? But yeah, no, they got knocked in trouble. They got in trouble with San Marino, who accused them of being quite arrogant. No. And yeah, well, stop
you
it.
Know, you don't
stop
get
it.
In
don't.
With it.
But don't fall into the same as them. Come on,
San Marino. I'm sorry, but it's a very small nation.
Yes, it is a small nation. Doesn't mean it's less valuable.
Well,
either way,
look. Anyway, the gist of it was that they put some tweets up saying that ITV have stopped being so disrespectful. I'm patronising.
My favourite one was at ITV football. Shame on you again. Which was just kind of, if you hadn't seen any of the rest of it, kind of came completely out of context.
I liked your one though, because they kept
scrolling over, like, shame on you again. What, hold on, when was it? Oh, shame on you. Okay, I see it. 10 minutes previous, shame on you.
I think the other one was quite good, because all throughout this, San Marino FA kept their dignity in. They wrote whatever, like, ITV have to stop being so patronising, blah, 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 blah. San Marino. They signed at the end.
Yeah, they signed it. Marino. They really did. They signed it. I like to think they tried to put a pen up against the screen. Yeah. It didn't work.
Oh, they were patronising them.
No, I'm not. I'm saying... He said... You called me a prat.
Patronising. Let's go, guys, go. If you're in a patronising mood, let's talk about Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland.
Oh. Well, let's not talk about Northern Ireland. That's how patronised I'm feeling.
Wales.
Will we start with Wales, Croatia or Wales, Scotland?
We'll start with
Wales,
Scotland.
Because they're both kind of funny.
Wales beat Scotland. 2-1.
Yeah,
good
again.
Result away from home. Good result for Wales. I surprise you, Chris Coleman, with a good result. But Gordon Strachan, surprisingly as well, getting some very bad results.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, okay, look, he wasn't expected to beat Serbia, but maybe put in a better shift against Wales. Yeah.
That didn't look that good. For Strachan, though, that is an insanely huge mountain that he has to climb with Scotland. They are in such a bad way.
The name of a really big mountain in Scotland. That was a bad joke.
Oh, geography jokes.
Hashtag bad mountain jokes.
Classic geography.
It'll be the only tweet of its nature. Like
hey, but I've done something completely original.
But I think, you know, everyone talks about the decline of Scottish football and stuff like that. But they have a really bad chance that they would end up, like we talked earlier, about someone like San Marino, who should they be put into a separate group? They're so bad. I mean, Scotland are out at this stage, and they're just going out and getting beaten every week, and badly. They're not looking in any way good, you know.
And Scotland sacked Levine, who we knew he was
prickly pear Craig Levine.
We knew he wasn't the man for the job. I've said it before, but they sacked him during the campaign. Now look, sure they're out of it anyway. You know, it's great. Yeah, Strachan's going to come in. And
I think it might be a bit better in that situation where they were really like,
yeah,
that was like
then,
that had
then
to.
They have a betting in period with Strachan where
that's the
it
thing.
Doesn't really matter.
But it does in a way, because if he goes in and loses,
well, yeah,
four
okay,
games,
okay.
Then people are going, like, Jesus,
numerically,
as well,
yeah.
And
numerically,
then rankings go down. You go down a bit, but not just that. Morale goes down. Confidence goes down.
I think there's an argument to be made for Levine. Was at the end, if they'd have kept him any longer.
But I don't think Levine should have been kept till the start of this campaign. I know
no,
should have been gone
no,
already,
but I mean, I still think it was the right move, range tracking. But anyway, we're going to talk about Wales and Scotland.
Yeah, well, Wales.
The game.
Well, Wales beat them quite well. They played some nice football.
They went 1-0 down.
Well, they went 1-0 down, but I mean.
And Ali McInally promised us about 10 times on Sky Sports News that they didn't deserve it. 10 times, I promise you that we didn't deserve it. Alright, how would it happen? Well, I promise you it was a corner, and I promise you we shouldn't have scored from it. It's like, and what are you doing?
He's making promises, that's all. fair play to him, Hanley McInally. But yeah, they did, but they came back without Gareth Bale as well in the second half. Don't even need big Gareth Bale on the wings, or up front, wherever he plays these days.
Excellent penalty from Ramsey.
That was a nice penalty from Ramsey.
Fired it
then
in.
Then he got himself sent off.
He did, which was a really stupid sending off, although he probably had to do it, because he got himself into a bad situation where he just pulled the person's feet from beneath him.
Well, the penalty for Wales, I'm not that convinced that
No, actually.
The way I saw it was, the ball had been played. The ball had
Oh, wait, yes it was. It's outrageous. Snodgrass was absolutely ridiculous tackle, and
but
probably
the
cost
been,
them the result.
Yeah, but the ball had been played already, and I've seen them not give before. Like, the ball was in play, knock only, where Snodgrass just followed through. There's nowhere to his fucking go.
No, but, I mean, arguably Pogatez was similar, except it stayed in play.
Yeah, but Pogatez slid down and went for the ball. I think with Snodgrass, he's going to try to block it, but he has nowhere else to put his foot, because the ball's already played. Pogatez, like, I think Long already had the ball. Pogatez kind of came in to try to dispossess him.
I can see why. I thought it was a penalty.
But it is arguable. I've seen them not given because the ball's gone and played on. And
yeah.
okay, he went out playing, I mean, but that's not, it's back cross, that's why he went out playing.
Scotland's really poor defending, it's really cost him over this. Like outstanding, like, I mean, I don't think there was a reason for Snodgrass to dive there, so I think that, very silly of him. I think in the game in Serbia, just to skip ahead a little bit, where they got beaten 2-0, I thought, Gary Caldwell really, like, whatever he was thinking, just clear the ball. You do this every week for Wigan. You should be able to clear, you know, there's a Serbian player right behind you. They've really got to, I don't know if they can, if Strachan can stay around from that team, because I think it's a bad team. Through and through, full of a lot of bad players.
I think we talked about Scotland before, but I think he can genuinely compare the team to Ireland. And I don't want to keep bringing the record on, but I don't think Scotland have that bad a team in comparison to Ireland. They just can't seem to get their act in order. They just can't seem to get a good morale. They have got good players. They've always produced good players, and they still are producing good players. You know, they do bring some good players through. They're just not using them properly. And, you know, if Strachan has enough time, maybe in the next campaign, he might get them working again. I mean, Ali McCoist, the other Rangers manager.
Walter Smith.
Walter Smith did quite a good job before Alex McLeish took over, and he did quite a good job as well. And I think they did have a comparable squad to Ireland. They probably do in some areas. I mean, I don't think if you look at the pool of players there, I think you could say that they're similar, quite similar. But yeah, we've been doing better. But Scotland they need to get their act in order. And I know Strachan's come out now and said that they need to reform the Scottish League and they need to start from the beginning again. You know,
it's a tough job though. I would say they're in it. You know, we talk. We're unhappy with some results, but we're not in as bad a way as them. And as you're saying, they need to get their act together.
But where do you start
fixing that Scotland team?
I know. Yeah, it's just like, bad appointment after bad appointment.
Yeah,
and then
hey, let's not disrespect old Craig Brown who retired this week.
Well, no, I mean, in the glory days of Craig Brown.
whose name I've written down as BREWN for Craig Brown.
Stephen Fletcher has been injured as well, which doesn't really matter. Scotland, but it's a big blow for
Devastating
Sunderland.
Devastating to Sunderland because
he's out for the end of the season, and Lee Cartmell's out as well.
He's already gotten 5 of their 7 goals, so now where have the goals come from? Lee Cartmell would have probably been out at the end of the season if they'd given another game or two.
He would have got suspensions.
A couple of red cards.
Mm. Scotland lost to Serbia, as we said, which, you know, the pitch was in a terrible condition. I saw that.
That's the kind of game that's in grainy and low definition. Like, even if you're watching on a high def TV, you're just like, oh no, I can't really see.
And then the commentating, you can clearly hear some, it's dubbed over from some Serbian footage. Wales kind of narrowly lost to Croatia.
Very lucky.
I mean, am I wrong about Chris Coleman, or are they still just as bad?
Would rate Chris Coleman as a poor manager.
I think they could be doing better.
They could, I
wouldn't say it's a golden generation.
The best player on earth ever.
Yeah. John Hedley.
He's a good lad as well.
I wouldn't say they have a golden generation players, but they have got some good players in Matthews, Ramsey, Bale.
Better than they have in recent years.
Sorry, I can't remember his name. The Crystal Palace guy.
Zaha.
No, he's English. There was an English centre midfielder. He actually looked quite good. I can't remember his name. I cannot for the life remember his name now, but he looked quite good. Williams, maybe? No.
Ashley Williams?
No, it wasn't Ashley. Ashley Williams is a decent player.
He's gotten a lot of praise recently, and I wish I could attribute this now. I was looking at conversations last night. It may have been someone in TalkSport.
Oh, God.
Well, it was probably not, because it was a good point, but they pointed out like that Ashley Williams kind of should be kind of further in his career, maybe playing for Arsenal, or, you know.
Yeah, I should hope Arsenal never signed Ashley Williams.
Yeah, but let me finish. Just that he was at a good point in his career, but apparently had a bad injury at like 16, which England had. FA 2 years ago apparently inquired about Ashley Williams, whereas Wales had been, because he was eligible to play for England, Wales had been tracking him since he was 13. Just an interesting.
Yeah, I do think they have a good crop of players at the moment, and they could be doing quite well with them.
Yeah, it's encouraging. We'll get them up, as we said earlier, in the rankings. They may not qualify now, but the higher they finish, it'll benefit them in the long term.
I just don't know if Coleman's the man to do it.
We said for a long time, I don't rate Coleman.
Well, I know Ashley Williams has come out today and said that sacking Coleman would be would be a silly move. I just,
you know what, actually, they were a bit unlucky in the sense of Boz Myhill probably should have saved one or both of the goals.
Well, he should definitely have done something for that first one.
It was a good strike from Lovren.
It was a wonderful strike, but it just Myhill got nowhere near for some reason. I don't know why. It looked like one of them was, he'll parry it out maybe and somebody will come in and score.
He looked like me in goals. Because I'll dive near the ball, but I won't actually save it, you know?
Yeah, but he didn't even dive really. He kind of just threw his hands.
Yeah, but it looked like he was in a decent, you know, form, like diving for it, but he really should have gotten to it.
Well, maybe Wales will push on. I mean, ITV were talking about it, and Andy Townsend said, oh, they've got some good players like Craig Bellamy and
disrespectful Andy Townsend. How disrespectful of him.
Hartson and,
you know what, Andy,
he did say Craig
Andy Townsend should have a parental advisory sticker on his face for when he walks around, the offensive things he says.
But he did say Craig Bellamy, and I think you might mention Joe Allen and Bale. I kind of went, are you that, like, you know, Craig Bellamy doesn't have any influence in the Wales team. Okay, he's good maybe to have around the squad because he has so much experience, but I was like, he's not, like, you could have said somebody, you could have said Ledley, you could have said Matthews, you could have said Williams, you could have said
anyone beyond the ridiculously obvious.
Yeah.
It's like RTE, who were like,
The point I was making earlier.
We'll analyse the Swedish game.
But we'll only talk about Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. They haven't done the danger man. I was like, well, obviously he's the danger man.
Well, I've got Lundborg on the wing.
They haven't done their research into it. Like,
that's what I mean.
Which is the problem. I mean, that's why we promote people like Brian Kerr and Richie Sadler, who they don't come on and have nothing to say.
Yeah.
And they don't come on and go, don't ask me that question, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Brian Kerr, the wonderful thing about Brian Kerr is not that he does research, it's just that he knows so much about football because he's interested in it.
Yeah, but I mean, there comes games even in the Europa League, he'll talk about, you know, players that maybe we wouldn't know about, you know, at random teams, and he'll have done clearly a bit of research.
Yeah, but I think he actually genuinely likes that.
Definitely.
Other opponents just don't seem to bother, but some like Sadler as well, he seems to quite enjoy that aspect of learning about other parts of football.
Hashtag care in. you never get enough ins. You only ever get hashtag outs. It's a negative. Hashtag has been associated with maybe star in. It's on the opposite side of the phone. It's the good one.
Alright, good one. Alright, we'll carry on up. Northern Ireland, their match against, we'll just briefly mention.
I'm only messing.
Their match against Northern Ireland against Russia was postponed twice the weekend, so they didn't play that, but they lost to Israel. They're very unlucky in one way that they have played quite well in some games. They're very unlucky in the sense that they have bad players. they haven't played badly, but they just seem to lose against everybody they play. Like, they played really well against Portugal a while ago. They drew that match 1-1. They actually played quite well against Israel, but then they got to the 78th minute and they just couldn't keep going. They lost in the end. You're just like, Northern Ireland, like the old days when Laurie Sanchez managed them, they were getting results, beat Spain, beat England,
the good old days.
Get them back, Sanchez in.
No, I don't think I want that trend.
Star Sanchez in.
He's the most. He was just one of those really negative football managers. He just.
But he won them games.
He did, but
got results. It's a results based business, isn't it?
I saw some of the Northern Ireland highlights. Most of them, actually. I watched BBC's international match of the day, which is not a good way to advertise the program when it's just Northern Ireland and Israel. Very misleading. I might complain.
And Colin Murray.
I'll complain here and I might write a letter to Colin Murray.
P.S. Why are you leaving my situation?
You should probably leave.
Come work for us. I don't know how I'll... Maybe 3 question marks to convey that.
Yeah. Maybe italics or something.
And a couple of stars. I like stars, lads. it just seemed even highlights... You know, in which make Chris Eagles look good, couldn't make this match look good. It was a relatively boring match, all in all, and probably not deservedly lost. But I mean, the goals ultimately came fairly.
The
enough.
First goal was quite nice. It was a nice flick. I don't know who the forward was. He flicked it onto Neuer forward. Ran through nicely. Put it away. Didn't do the research.
We just give out about research. As I said, just because you're a hypocrite doesn't mean you're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm right though.
Get that on a t-shirt, wear it around.
I'd be confused and hurt myself. Anyway, look, we'll have a quick run through the other internationals. Just a quick one.
We're going to start in the winter wonderland of the US.
We will start in the winter wonderland because we're having a bit of a winter wonderland ourselves here at the moment. Yeah. It's snowing down pretty heavily outside, I'd say. Well, it was before we started, anyway. Winter's coming.
Some cocoa and cookies just before.
What do you get for Christmas?
My Christmas tree's not up like it was when we started back. Yeah. I better put it up.
And when it was 12 degrees.
It's a bit warmer.
Is it just because when I came back from Germany, I completely had the months all wrong? I just messed it up. And then you guys got confused as well, and we've just gradually fallen into that.
Yes.
And it was based on you.
Most things are.
The sun actually revolved around you.
Mm.
USA and Costa Rica in a blizzard, an absolute blizzard. I mean, if you haven't seen this, look it up. We might put a video up of a layer, or after this, or before you listen. Who knows? But it's really, really bad weather. I mean, they cannot see anything.
Worst part about it is the USA are wearing white jerseys and they use the white football. It's outrageous. You basically, they may as well just start kitting the teams out in camouflage, which they did with Tim Howard. There you go.
Everyone do that, yeah.
Yeah, but like, that was ridiculous.
But they also wear bright pink.
So imagine they had to just lay down on top of the ball. You'd never find them. The Costa Ricans have been running around for ages, maybe tripped over a few players.
But the question is that a benefit to Costa Rica or America? Because America can't see who they're passing to.
No, but like...
It's like that old thing...
United's jerseys.
United's grey jerseys. Yeah. Couldn't see.
But it's pretty bad either way. It shouldn't have happened. You know? Like, oh. At least they should have done what we did with the writing Richard Dunn's number on the back. Just colour in the jersey with a marker.
But there were actually people on the sidelines during the match clearing it with shovels, like clearing so they could see the markings on the ground. During the match, they were going up and down. Like, they were on the pitch clearing it. At one stage, there was... The ball went at least a yard out of play, and you wouldn't notice it in real time. But the replay, the ball goes about a yard out of play, and the referee at lines, we can't tell, so they just play on. It was that bad. Now,
one of the groundsmen scored a volley.
It's all over the place. It wasn't even Clint Dempsey who scored, it was just a fan ran out and threw a ball into the net. America or USA won 1-0.
And there was instant calls to replay it.
Yeah, and Costa Rica.
Get the orange football.
They got to
it. We love an orange football.
They're
out
so
of the
reluctant to use the orange ball.
Yeah.
All the time. They got to about the.
Love that every now and again.
68 minute, and the referee kind of said, "We might have to call this off." But apparently, they just said, "Let's just finish it. We're here now. The fans are here."
Surely, Costa. It was probably an English speaking referee, and the Costa Ricans probably didn't have any English. It was just like, "Huh? I don't know what he's saying."
Yeah, play. And they're walking off. We're caught. What?
Oh, it's just, I don't know. It's just how that can happen.
I mean,
it's just beyond me.
It's a blizzard. I'll throw my pen away while I do that. It's a blizzard.
He's so angry about weather.
We're having a blizzard outside here now in Ireland, pretty much.
And I have the orange ball and we're ready for a kick around.
We're ready for a kick around.
It's about 12.
We have the orange recorder out just in case we can't see it.
We're actually recording outside. It's so cold.
It's so very cold.
But yeah, no, it's terrible conditions out there. I mean, you wouldn't get a game in that kind of weather. I mean, we've seen Premiership games call off for rain, like pitches being flooded. Yeah. This was rough.
Did you get many games called off when you used to play? We used to get it for rain a lot, but it was more on pitches more than anything.
It used to be rain, because you get there and think, the pitch is damaged. So it's like,
Well, I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning for this.
Once had a game called off half the way through because the opposition's team, which was, it was a type of, it was a Muslim school team, and they racially abused the referee. And us. It was weird. I've been on the end of racism.
You should meet up at St. Blair.
Like Jerome Boateng has.
No, Kevin Prince Boateng.
Or Kevin Prince Boateng, sorry. I'll just get that, like, email anyone that was racially abused. Come wear the FIFA t-shirt. No.
Get your whole team back together and head off to Sep.
A lot of them aren't here anymore. Not dead, they've just gone to different countries.
That's terrible.
But yeah, no, it was very funny because I think it was like we were 8-0 up. We weren't that good. It was just they happened to be particularly bad.
Yeah.
We were like 8-0 up.
Did you score?
I didn't. I unfortunately was rested for this game.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't an important game.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like, oh, need
the start.
Cup match next week.
No, I came on. It was really frustrating, actually, because I came on, you know, I'd paid my subs.
Oh,
I was ready to come on. I got on about 10 minutes, maybe. And the game got called off then. Just still a good half an hour to play. I was like,
You were paying the subs, which was money your dad would have given you anyway to pay back into the club.
I paid my subs, alright?
They went to Wellies.
Allegedly what happened...
He must have loved
that's
walking.
Far too inside, lads. Come on. No one likes inside jokes. And I'm particularly getting fed up with my dad, he mentioned on his podcast. But we... It was mental because I got on about 10 minutes and I think it was the second of their players to be sent off. They were a bad team. And they just flipped out and the entire bench got up and all the players started shouting at the referee, called him a white, certain white cell you will also have in your body.
A white blood cell?
No. But yeah, it was weird. It was a weird form of racism. I never heard that before and I felt upset after. We won 8-0 and it was kind of funny, but... I felt upset.
Was it if it was called off? You might have just a goddamn 3-0.
I'd say they got the 8.
No, I think we got the 8. I think he blew it up. We better have. Anyway, we won the lead. Won the lead that year.
Yeah. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You might have been there actually.
At that time, no, he wasn't.
No, there was a match that wasn't called off, but our manager.
Oh, you two used to play together, didn't you?
Yeah. There you go. Our manager called it early because there was a. What would you say? We were getting battered. It was a friendly though, and we travelled to an away friendly with some team. I think they might be in a league above us, and we were trying like, you know, say, oh, maybe we'll see how good we are, and they were destroying us. So your manager called maybe 75 minutes, he kind of said it to the ref or something like that. The opposition manager came over at the end of the game and kind of maybe a bit patronised, like, oh yeah, like, oh, I'm sure we're a league above you. And the man's like, well, you don't need to come over and say that. And then he went up having a bit of an L. Scrap. They wound up
by scrap, you mean fight?
No, they didn't actually fight, but they were shouting abuse at each other. And I remember two of our players kind of walking up to the manager, like, here, come on, leave it to our manager. I was like, oh, you're friendly. And he's like, I was like, okay.
Yeah, but there is something to be said about our manager. Yes. He was insane.
Easy now, this goes out in the public.
Anyway, look.
We have more stories for another day. I have a few more that I nearly weighed in with, but I thought I'll leave them for another day.
Italy drew 2-2 with Brazil. Balotelli's
in a friendly.
Goal. True, yeah, friendly, obviously.
Well, obviously, yeah.
Wonderful goal from Balotelli.
Oh, yeah, cracker. He scored...
35 yards out or something?
Yeah, I'd say about 30 yards out. He's in very good form at the moment,
Balotelli.
He scored
against Malta as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Scored two against Malta.
They only beat Malta 2-0, which was kind of weird. And Malta hit the bar and had a penalty. So.
Yeah, we were looking at some Malta highlights earlier.
It was a wonderful shot to hit the bar.
Yeah, really. Kind of a little bit unlucky. I think the penalty claim is a bit of a dive.
Yeah.
From,
I know, in fairness, Buffon, though, it's better than come out and...
Yeah, I suppose. That. But, yeah... Joey Barton got lay into Neymar as well, didn't he? Called him cat piss. Which is a weird insult. You're cat piss, Joey Barton. How do you like that?
He doesn't like it. Get on the Twitter. Yeah. Everybody, hashtag Joey Barton cat piss.
Is Joey Barton equals cat piss? yeah, good game though. Yeah. Brazil, Italy, it seemed.
Fred scored as well in that one again, I think, wasn't it?
I like Fred.
He's not a great start.
He didn't say Roy. Like Roy said, Fred.
Yes!
Got it in there.
Not great there for Scolari as manager there because they drew the England match as well. I think they played Russia as well. I'm not sure. That was a draw as well, I think, wasn't it? In the Russia game. So, not a great start for Scolari.
They play qualifiers or not?
They don't have to. They're the hosts.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
So they don't have to.
They're talking about some a time to bet in a new manager. Scolari will have a nice little bit of warm-up every now and again and then they'll go to the tournament.
Actually, Argentina on top of that qualifying. Group
yeah,
the Uruguay lost though. They lost 2-0 to Chile, and
but that's not what's important about the game.
Suarez is in trouble because he's been questioned over whether he punched Gonzalo Higuera.
Not Luis Suarez, sure.
Yeah, not the Luis Suarez who handballed the shot off the line, racially abused Patrice Evra, who
grabbed a testicle, grabbed a nipple,
bit someone. Yeah,
or maybe he didn't grab the nipple. That was Tal Ben-Haim. Sorry.
Wow, everybody bites a bit of nipple.
He's like a stretched Suarez, Tal Ben-Haim. His face, if you stretched it. But
Ben-Haim's like a fat
look,
Suarez.
Let me instantly jump to the defence of Luis Suarez and say, look, he'll admit it, and it'll be grand. Yeah, I punched that geezer, whatever. That's what he'll say.
He'll definitely say geezer.
He'll say geezer, or whatever the Uruguayan for geezer is. It's probably racist, the Uruguayan for geezer, you'll probably find. Like that whole Evra incident that we'll steer clear of.
There was quotes this week that... they may be mistranslated, as they usually are when players go in.
That's what happened with the punch. The punch was lost in translation. That's a mark of respect.
In Uruguay. Basically, he can't help if other teams are interested in him in the summer and he'll have to consider his options. Now, people are saying these moves or these quotes to be taken out of translation, as they usually are when players go on international duty, but it's not the first time he's kind of hinted that he might well move away. Now, I know he has said in the press in England that he's definitely going to stay beyond the summer, but. There are question marks over. Well, if they're not playing Europe, he might go. So I wonder if this is the first sign that he.
What did you think of the punch? Did you see it? Did you think it was
the only angle I liked?
No, well, I mean, if you look at it, it wasn't really a punch as much as it
the
was.
The only angle I could get was behind the two players, so you just kind of
see. I did think that originally. You see a little tap, but I saw one from the
coming up from his shoulder.
I don't know why that's the only that's the main one you find, because it's a much better angle from the front. Now it doesn't. He raises his hand and there is intention, and I wouldn't say he punches him, but he certainly, you know, sort of shoves his face with his hand. You know, that's not if you're a man, you wouldn't call that a punch. You know.
Yeah. I don't know, we'll find out.
Or a strong woman.
We'll know soon enough. Strong women. I agree.
Yeah, we do like them here. This is turned into soccer AM.
Oh, no. Soccer AM?
Yeah.
Or soccer AM?
No, strong women aren't involved in soccer AM. Soccer AM, he has beat up weak women. Yeah.
Ah.
It's awful what you do.
Argentina actually drew up Bolivia 1-0 away from home. As many teams do draw up Bolivia, because they play in
a 100 million. That always happens. Yeah. Argentina could be on a fantastic 100 million miles in the sky.
They played on the moon.
But it's fascinating seeing that, because it always happens to see Argentina do this, Argentina do that. They drew Bolivia. Really? Oh yeah.
It's like, Bolivia. Yeah.
They may as well have been playing in a blizzard like the other day, where it's just as impossible.
And I'll shoot in a blizzard. That's what
I want. I imagine every time that, like, they get there, it's like the team bus leaves them at the end, like, to Bolivia.
The bottom of a mountain.
Of a big hill, yeah. They then have to climb that to get up.
You can have this image of the team bus teetering over the edge of a big mountain.
Everybody on,
but only on the back.
Yeah, all the light players at the back. All the light
it's the end of the Italian job. Except if Maradona had been in the bus, it definitely would have fallen.
Messi and Di Maria, you go to the back. Tevez, you too. And maybe not Tevez these days.
No, so probably not. Anyway, Tevez, you sit in the middle as an anchor.
Yeah. As we keep with the Latin American team, kind of. Spain drew Finland 1-0.
Yeah.
And beat France 1-0.
They went on to beat France 1-0 in France, which is quite good for Pedro to go.
Yeah. It seemed, as I said to you, it seemed like Pedro had all the chances.
Yeah.
It just seemed like he was the only attacking player again. I don't know if that was true. I didn't actually get to watch
that. Well, after the Finland game, they said, we're going to try this Finland tactic. Keep everybody back in the fend. No, they should have had a penalty as well.
They should, yeah. Pedro was fouled by Lloris.
It was terrible, really. He kind of just came out and clattered him over.
Yeah. I don't know how the referee didn't give it.
It was a strange one.
Very, very... bad weekend for goalkeepers as well. Except for Ford. Top man.
Paul Pogba just gets himself sent off as well.
Yeah,
moron.
Quite a wonderful tackle.
I think it may have been Xavi. I'm pretty sure it was Xavi.
If Xavi's not as fantastic, but imagine knee Xavi in the back of the head by looks of things.
Yeah.
He got up so high. Like,
Xavi's awful small.
I know.
Yeah, but that's what he says. But he still jumped in the air, Xavi. So it's Xavi jumping in the air.
And
Paul Pogba got this incredible leap. You think he'd just jump for the ball? No, he... kind of, he did swing his leg out in a motion to try and kick him as well, which is
the other one was a tackle on Alonso, I think.
Yeah,
he kicked Alonso's ankle, and it was a pretty, you know, one of those ones here. It's gotta be two
horrendous tackles that he did, and he sarcastically applauded as he was sent off. I was like, "What's your problem? Are you not in a good mood today, Paul? What's wrong?"
Did we talk about Ferdinand sarcastically applauding the referee after United?
Yeah, we did.
That really annoyed me.
Yeah, we did talk about it. But there you go. It should have annoyed you when Pogba did it. Then
it would have if I seen it. It's one of those things. I think you should be getting banned for that kind of nonsense.
Mm.
You're fucking. you're a professional footballer.
Never mind Andy Townsend, you're going to have the parental advisory sticker on you now. You and Andy in soccer AM. Valdez made a fantastic save
at
as well.
At the end, I said, look, like, do Dudek's one from Champions League final.
I did try to save that as a note when we talked about it. Dudek like save, and it came up as dudes like save. Because my phone has
they
autocorrect.
They do.
We all like saves.
Will we? Oh, dearie me.
We have fun here.
Billion jerseys.
Oh, then we're talking about Spain. Well, we'd move away from the international sport. We're talking about Spain. We'll just briefly touch back on Barcelona, which is basically the Spain team. Tito Villanova is back in Barcelona now, and he might well travel up for the game. I think it's against Batiste over the weekend. But if not, it looks like he'll be in charge for the next game after that. So, great news for Barcelona.
Yeah, that's great to see. Absolutely. And for all of us who, you know,
it's not for everybody. It's great that he's still able to manage and carry on with
exactly.
his job and alive.
Mm.
And any, like, you know, it's great.
We're all very happy, and for the sake of seeing it, we were interested to see how Barcelona would progress without Guardiola under his management. So, now we kind of get to see that again.
They're probably going to the league, but next season we'll really see what.
Yes, exactly.
But I mean, sure, they could still win the double, couldn't they?
They could.
Just on that, Ibrahimovic's ban in the Champions League
Yeah.
has been rescinded, or reduced. reduced to one game, so he only missed the second leg of that Valencia tie, so we will be back to play against Barcelona.
That's fantastic, isn't it? I couldn't,
you'd be happy with that.
Yeah, come on, get Zlatan in.
The one player, you know, he'll just really want to score.
Yeah, exactly.
Do Barcelona over.
But he'll end up wanting to do that every week, though, because in the Champions League, because he'll have Guardiola managing Bayern, and then he'll want to score against Barcelona, Bayern. There'll be a few more.
Inter, Juventus,
yeah,
Ajax,
Malmo.
Malmo, yeah. Get Malmo in there. Qualifying rounds.
Don't patronise.
Well, that's really it from all that other stuff. It's the Premier League now that we're finishing up with the Premier League. Hey, how about
we
that?
Never do that, do we?
No. Nigel Atkins, because I mean, nothing going on. Nigel Atkins has been confirmed as the Red manager. We only talked last week saying
how outrageous it was that he was. McDermott was sacked.
Yeah, we're talking about how bad Brian McDermott. Well, it's crazy how Brian McDermott got sacked. We're talking about Gus Poyet taking over and how that would have been a terrible idea.
Yeah. And he turned the job down.
Yeah, fair play to him. I think he's the right
intelligent
move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a smart move. I mean, okay, he might get promoted with Brian this season, but definitely has a chance next season.
Yeah, or in a year or two, he'll get a better job.
Yeah, get a better offer.
Before they're almost certainly going to be relegated.
Yeah, I mean, even this summer, he might get a better offer for a team like he could build on during the summer. You know what I mean?
I have an interesting point, though. Like, maybe it's not that interesting. You can tell me it's not. At Jack Maron.
No.
But I think Atkins is, apart, you know, from sacking McDermott, I think Atkins is probably the best appointment they could have made. Poyet hasn't managed the Premier League yet.
Yeah, good point.
Atkins has had that. I know they were still relatively low down, Southampton, but I don't think they could have gotten anyone much better for the situation. I think it's a very good appointment. I think it's a bad sacking. I'm not justifying it.
But
I still think they shouldn't have sacked McDermott.
I don't think
it's a good. And apparently, Atkins or McDermott told Atkins to go for the job.
I don't think Atkins is going to keep them up, but
I don't either. But I think in the long run they might be okay.
I wonder though, because I see similarities in Atkins and McDermott's managers, which might be a great team, because the reason McDermott was sacked, you know, they weren't doing well enough, and maybe they weren't being ambitious enough or whatever it is. So you wonder if Atkins is going to make some uninspiring signings, and then suddenly next season he's sacked after a couple of games in the Championship.
Hopefully not.
You just wonder, and you don't see somebody's career ruined like that, because he has looked like a very good manager in the last four or five years.
McDermott and Conor Salmon would make a very good B version of Right Said Fred, like on a cover night.
Oh, and maybe Howard Webb, Kalina.
No, Kalina wouldn't. No, you could tell. You know, you need
Kalina's too.
You know, it'd be fun.
Who's your favourite ball player? just finish off here. Kevin Davis, Bolton player. Gonna be there.
We've moved to the Championship. We haven't hit a lot of Championship this year.
Moved to effectively the Championship
with Reading. I felt like we're already there.
Lads, you're being horrendously patronised with this whole podcast. I'll have to tag the FA and San Marino and ask them to complain about it.
Kevin Davis. He's going to be at Bolton 10 years in the summer, but he hasn't been denied, but it does look like he's going to be given a new contract.
He won't be.
And he won't be given a testimonial, which is just shocking.
I'm not sure it's that he won't be given, but it seems like there's a problem, it won't be given. Maybe they'll sort it out. One of the big things is that he actually won't be there 10 years. His contract will expire before the 10 years, which some horrible little Twitter guy pointed out, trying to defend that. That's why he won't get his testimony. These are great jokes flying in, as I have to say.
I don't think that's too much of an. I remember, Jackie McInerney got a testimonial with Celtic.
Yeah, rightly so.
He didn't play 10 years, but it was just
good servant.
An acknowledgement of the fact that he has been there
Does
for
Ryan
that
Giggs
long.
Get two?
Could you get a double testimonial? I wonder if it's ever happened. Really.
He could have taken one after 10 years, could have demanded one after 10 years.
Yeah.
And then just had another one at the end of this season.
Yeah. But interestingly enough, I mean, Bolton are, apart from how, I think that's an incredibly mean thing to do to a
very mean.
No, but
it?
There's no other word to describe it. It's a really shitty thing to do, to take a page out of Shane Keane's book. I think it's a really shitty thing to do. And I also think that, they're stopping money from going to charity.
I just see.
I think that makes it look even worse.
And the best thing about testimonials is you always get loads of players you haven't seen. They can have JJ Okocha back.
Ah, oh, I saw him play. I saw him play with Cafu, Karembu. I did, but they were playing with kids, so they were trying to let the kids be involved. I was like, get them Egypts off. I want to see the other lads play.
You don't get Roy Keane, haven't
you? No.
Get that. Jesus. though.
But I think it's I really do think that's terrible from Bolton. You know, so if Ivan Campo was there shouting with big Twitter letters, he would be giving Davis a proper testimony, and he'd be taking part.
It's always great to see those players, like really big players, when they have a testimonial.
Like big, busty, burly Sam Allardyce.
John Parkins.
Grant Holtzell's going to be dead. But, like Zidane, I don't think he actually had 10-year service in the club. But he had a send-off match. But there were world-class players there. Like, you know, you get these brilliant players. I think Bergkamp had won at Arsenal. I'm pretty sure Cruyff might have turned up on it.
Jordi or Johan?
Johan.
That would have been very disappointing.
Oh, wow. We got Cruyff. Jordi.
Jay Cruyff. Yeah.
Jordi Cruyff, former Barcelona Manchester United player.
Tell you what, just on the topic of how long I'll be doing one soon.
Do we get testimonials after 10 years of doing the podcast? Yeah.
I should probably have one from one of my old clubs, actually. One of my old Sunday League clubs, I could probably ask. But anyway.
Oh, God.
But one point, just what's interesting, when I was in Germany in the summer there, after the season kind of came to a close, do you remember the Bayern Munich-Holland game?
Yeah, because of Robben's injury, wasn't it?
Yes, and that was a weird one, because I thought at the time, I wasn't actually aware that he was injured, and I was like, is that some sort of Robben testimonial? And I was like,
He's not there
that long. And I was like, who else is there? I couldn't think. I may have accidentally booked 8 tickets to that game, and I may have been not given them, and I may have been charged for them.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not quite sure.
Oh, well,
which would have been about €200.
You're on top of your finances.
Yeah. I was for the most of it, but I couldn't really prove it at the time. So
never mind. if you want to get in touch, the 12th Man Podcast at hotmail.com, at 12th Man Podcast on the Twitter, numerical 12, so 12th. Man podcast on that. Get on there. You can get at Deck Marin as well.
You can. I'm pretty much the. Well, no, you're on there.
I'm on there. If you want to tweet me, do. I'll get back to you. I mean, I don't have anything to say though.
And Rutoben, he appears on mine because I followed him. But
it might spam on your page if you want to follow me.
That sounds dirty.
if you do, yeah. Look, not saying. Get in touch. I'll give you my comments and opinions.
Worth just a little feed into that the. League of Ireland blog is still under production.
In production.
Whatever. Under construction. In production.
It's under your beds.
But we will be working on it. I know we appreciate the few new Twitter followers, and if they are also listeners, appreciate it.
Tell your friends.
Yeah, tell your friends. You know, you don't have to say
tell people who aren't your friends. Tell people on the street.
We did this before. But you don't have to say we're any good.
Sit down on the bus. Put your headphones on and kind of sit wherever you're sitting beside you. I'm listening to this. Those headphones. Put these in.
But,
get one of those splitter things. It's about fiber.
You don't have to say.
Maybe bring some speakers on. And, you know, people listen to music on the back of the bus, take the podcast.
You don't.
Oh, that would be brilliant. If we ever sink to that level. Thanks anyway, lads. It's been great. I always say the international ones bring out the best in us.
Yeah, it's enjoyable. We get to talk on a new level. I suppose it's not a weekly.
Ground.
Yeah, it's not a weekly thing that we fall into. It's, it's international time. Whee!
Anyway, thank you, Declan Marin.
Thank
Wonderful.
You.
Thank you. Thanks, myself, Shane Keane. Be back next week. See you then. Bye-bye.
Sound like Grandpa Simpson. Robbie Keane in California.
Run out the hot tub. Into the sex room. I was raising. Let him in.
It's too snowy out. I'm not letting his leave.
Yeah,
for your own safety.
I will happily stay here.
Yeah, well, I'm going to set the alarm and lock the doors.
I'm happy enough. I'm going to fall asleep during this, so... And then later on, I was putting in some gear back in the... My shoes are really clunky, they're over there. And they're really big and clunky. So I took off my shoes.
Will you tie my shoelaces? These are just socks. Tie them, please.
On closer inspection, these are loafers.
Sorry.
I hope I get a refund on those 8 tickets, actually, if I did actually buy them. It would be quite good.
It's a bit late now.